Coming up on the Weekly Hour, back from the brink, we interview a reformed grammar Nazi about what it's like to turn from extremism.
I guess I just realised correcting people's English all the time is like racist against dumb people.
On the front lines, we talk to the conservative politicians fighting back against African gang violence in Melbourne.
And what evidence do you have that there are any gangs? Who are they? What are their names?
That's the thing we don't know. These gangs are essentially acting anonymously because they're all of African descent. These thugs are impossible to distinguish from one another.
Echoes from the past. We visit the dig site of a rare fossil believed to be from South Australia's only known dinosaur.
Oh, hang on. This is just Australian Conservative Senator Corey Bernardi.
Multiculturalism suggests that all cultures are equal.
Oh, not you again. Put him back in. And Brexit breakdown. We talk to a British parliamentarian who's advocating for another vote on leave or remain.
Well, it's just that we all hate her, you see. And I really do think it proper that we be allowed another vote on whether Theresa May should leave or remain as Prime Minister. Personally, I'm pushing for the further amendment that she also has to walk into the sea.
They have a very good brain.
She is a demon damned to hell!
God help us.
Yes. Tear down this big, beautiful wall.
Oh, goodness.
This is the best possible death cult.
We need to hammer into place the foundations for
child poverty.
Children are being taught that they have an inalienable right to be gay.
I have no idea what it is, and I'm not going to spend any time finding out.
It's fucking language.
Welcome to another Wacky Workday with Lindo and the Spear.
And I'm here too.
Never mind that. Now it's time for some homophobic jokes.
Oh no, you're terrible, Lindo.
Sorry, had something in my throat there. Anyway, this is Lindo and the Spear for the Weekly Hour.
Yeah. Anyway, let's look at what's happened in the news the last week.
Well, more like the last month, you know, because the last episode was more than a week ago, so...
No, if the title of this show is anything to go by, it's been a week.
Well, it's been longer than a week, so...
In the headlines this week.
Russian trolls have been found to have affected every major media platform in efforts to tamper with democratic institutions.
Terribly concerning. Almost as concerning as the naive belief that democracy can ever work.
Forgive my getting a little philosophical here, but why should freedom of speech and freedom of the press be allowed? Think about it. Why should a government, which is doing what it believes to be right, allow itself to be criticised? I mean, it wouldn't allow opposition by lethal weapons, and ideas are much more fatal things than guns.
Interesting take. And if you think about it that way, why should any man be allowed to disseminate pernicious opinions calculated to embarrass the government?
Kupit novi kalendar Putina na 2019 god.
Ah, istina. Istina.
A young Saudi woman, citing fears her family will kill her, has sought asylum in Australia, the country that this is.
No way. In the proud Australian tradition, I identify as a massive racist. And I am opposed to this woman being allowed into the country. And I think I speak for all Australians when I say that.
All right, but hang on just a minute. Now, I'm as true blue, dinky dye, massively racist as any Aussie you can care to name. Let's get that straight. But this young lady has disavowed Islam and can't return home out of fear for her life. The Australian government cannot afford to pass up a political prop this good, especially with an election so close. We've got to take her.
Oh, the Muslims would hate that. It's a complex decision. Which racism should Australia do here?
She went to Canada.
Canada? What? What's wrong with Australia? She thinks she's too good for Australia now, huh?
This is why you can't trust foreigners.
Bloody unbelievable. Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe has announced the country will resume commercial whaling in a shift from their previous policy of whaling for scientific research. and then selling the various parts for commercial gain.
This is a disgrace and a tragedy.
Oh, it's so sad.
You've just got to ask, what about all the important research that was being done?
Oh no, I think the research was a cover.
We need to get good, peer-reviewed academic data on the role of whales in the ecosystem by taking whales out of the ecosystem.
It was just commercial whaling, Lindsay.
And besides, the whales are eating all the fish. They're an invasive species.
No, they didn't invade the ocean.
Okay, look, this is such a shame. There was really important research being done on the mortality rates of murdered whales.
That's not important.
Lance, how will we ever know, to a statistically significant standard, how to kill whales real good? Huh? Are you gonna find out?
All right, agree to disagree. Let's move on.
I'm glad you're on board, Lance. Now for an ad from the Japanese government.
What? We can't take money
the
from
Weekly
the
Hour
Japanese
is brought
government.
To you by the Commission to Stop Whales anyway. From Eating All the Fish.
Turn down my mic.
In a time of chaos, the epic battle for the future of Nippon is at hand. Only ultimate fighting justice can stop the destruction of all the fish.
Ah, whales! Here they come!
In the long-awaited spin-off of the legendary Street Fighter series. It's Sea Fighter!
Hey! You big dumb fishes have dishonored my family for too long! Taste my ultimate fist!
You may have tried to stop our scientific research and eaten all the fish, but you'll never defeat the power of friendship!
Super hard power!
Hiya!
Out now on Nintendo 3DS, Sony PlayStation 4, and Mitsubishi Shogun.
Well, you're listening to the Wiggly Hour.
Brexit. Experts say it's going to fuck the UK economy. But Prime Minister Theresa May says maybe it won't.
May has to come up with the final exit deal by the end of March, only weeks away. But everyone hates her, so she can't.
It is a draft treaty that means that we will leave the EU in a smooth and orderly way on the 29th of March 2019.
Not only did the opposition party hate her, calling for a vote of no confidence in the government, but her own party hate her as well, trying to topple her as leader and then voting against her proposed deal.
It's all terribly exciting. To explain, we're joined now by Deputy Assistant Representative to the British Prime Minister, Donny Longbottom.
Yeah, what?
With the deadline for a Brexit deal looming on the 29th of March, Prime Minister Theresa May still hasn't come up with a deal that is palatable to the British Parliament. What will the
Oh, so boring! Fuck the Parliament and the ruling class! They don't care about the real people! The people on the streets! People on the pavement! People in a shop! Nobody wants to know what those absolute wankers are on about!
So you're saying that the British people don't feel like they're being represented by their parliamentarians? That the Parliament is out of touch with the common man? So what do you think the everyday citizen wants from this arrangement? After all, this is what they voted for.
The people want anarchy in the UK! Down with Thatcher! Down with the monarchy! Down with the whole bloody system!
So you're suggesting that there is a public resistance to 1980s-style laissez-faire economics and that it's making it harder for May to achieve her Brexit vision?
What? Shut up, you nerd!
We seem to have some interference on your end. What's that noise, Donny?
I'm headbutting you through the phone!
Ouch. That's not very nice. Look, Donny, you don't seem to be interested in telling us about the Brexit process.
Oh, if you want to know about that bollocks, why don't you talk to the Prime Minister, you tosser?
But you're her representative. I mean, we would talk to her if that were possible, but she sent you.
All right, Donny. Can you tell us anything about the attempted leadership challenge from a few weeks ago? 1 in 3 Conservative MPs tried to remove her as leader. Does she really have the confidence required to seal the deal with Brussels?
You really think I give a Tommy tit? I've had it with you lot. Stop asking me about this boring toffee shit.
We're trying to have a serious conversation about this, and you are the Prime Minister's representative. Oh, isn't there anyone else in your office we can talk to?
Anyone else? Anyone else? Ah! Oh, yes, actually. I'll put Theresa on.
Theresa May?
Yeah, here she is.
Hello there.
Oh, so good to finally talk to you, Madam Prime Minister. Now, how close do you think you are to passing a deal that your Parliament will accept?
I think the best way I can explain is through song.
Brussels tried to tell me what to do. Mutually beneficial trade for you. But I don't listen to no bloody EU. Instead I tell them, fuck you! National suicide is what they say. The Parliament, the media, my own party. The Scottish and the Irish and the whole UK. Instead I tell them, no way! Shut up numbers, shut up facts. I don't care about any of that. I'm a fucking anarchist, except I'm not. I'm a Tory, just like Thatcher. Fuck my legacy, fuck my life. Politically backstabbing with a knife. Nothing bloody matters, I'm having a laugh. I'm an economic psychopath. Everything is meaningless and I don't care. I'll lick a warm socket and I'll sit on a bear. England's burning, all is lost. Let's have a nuclear holocaust. Fuck off Europe on your bike. My will to live is on a miner's strike. I'm a fucking rebel, I don't give a shit. So let's do a big old Brexit.
Oh, well, that clears that up.
The Weekly Hour, Australia's hardest-hitting broadcaster of good broadcasting. Join The Weekly Hour listener Terry as he embarks on a mystical journey to listen to this podcast.
Hi, my name's Terry, and I'm pretty much the audience of the Weekly Hour. Pretty sure it's just me. Big believer in the podcast, I am. If you look at the ratings on Apple Podcasts, all those ratings were me. It's created dozens of different accounts and it's rated it just over and over. Why? The show's not great, if I'm honest. I just really want to lick Lance's feet. Yeah. He sounds like he'd have nice feet. Yes, I'm a sex pervert, I guess is what I'm saying. Yeah.
The Weekly Hour, in cinemas Boxing Day.
The Weekly Hour.
Many networks in the US and in the not US have been criticised for airing Donald Trump's rallies, speeches and addresses live, in full and without commentary.
Chasing easy ratings and cynically cashing in on the controversial president's media appeal are commonly criticised. Criticised like in the following exclusive audio.
Election so important.
Oh, this is no good at all. No, I don't approve of this.
But here at the Weekly Hour, the home of self-restraint and respectability, we won't be engaging in such tasteless broadcasting behaviour. Instead, we'll be airing the leader of the free world's Oval Office address, not live, but well after the fact. Not in full, but almost in full. And with commentary by yours truly, me, Lance. Also Lindsay.
Hi! Here at the Weekly Hour, being proud American patriots, we know that the immediate construction of a wall at the southern border of the United States is imperative to address the hordes of Mexicans frantically clamoring over one another at the border, desperately competing to enter the country so that they can commit crimes.
But the no-good, dastardly villains of the Democratic Party remain willfully ignorant to the crisis, forcing President Trump to say the following stuff.
My fellow Americans, tonight I am speaking to you.
I am speaking to you! So much for the claims that Donald Trump is a racist.
Yep, look, right out of the gate, he's appealing to the Italian-American community. It's-a-me, President!
Oh, warms the soul.
This is a humanitarian crisis, a crisis of the heart, and a crisis of the soul.
So true. And the wall is the solution to both. It's a bargain!
It's a two-for-one deal. Increase.
These children are used as human pawns by vicious coyotes and ruthless gangs. Women are children.
Hear that? Women are children. Now we're getting to the real lofty ideas of the speech.
Clance, it's poetry. It's poetry. You see, because women are children, it follows that children are women.
And because we know that Trump is not a misogynist, we also know that women are equal to men.
Women equals men. Therefore, these children are grown men who are bringing crime, they're bringing drugs, they are rapists, and some of them, we assume, are good people.
But there should be no special treatment for these wolves in children's clothing.
Hashtag logicked, hashtag owning the libs.
Immigration judges and bed space to process the sharp rise in unlawful migration fueled...
That's right, a sharp rise.
Yes, we've all heard the conspiracy theories bandied about by the U.S. Customs and Border Protection Agency claiming that unauthorized entry by Mexicans is at its lowest point in 20 years.
Oh, haven't we? Now, if that were true, why would there be this crisis now? It makes literally no sense.
Fake news indeed.
...to close border security loopholes so that illegal immigrant children can be safely and humanely returned back home.
Oh, send them back. Finally, send back those kids.
Now, obviously, with the utmost care and respect.
Obviously.
I mean, they've got to ensure hopefully that they safely and humanely dispose of the children into the appropriate receptacle.
National security. Some have suggested a barrier is immoral. Then why do wealthy politicians build walls, fences, and gates around their homes?
Anyone who has walls but is against the wall is a hypocrite.
These leftists love walls when it suits them. When there's an immigration emergency at the border, they hate it. But as soon as they want their family to have shelter from the elements, oh, I love walls now, can't get enough walls. The hypocrisy is astounding.
Now, Lance, let's interrupt the speech here because we've just got to look at this outrageous video of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez dancing. Look at her go.
Oh, there she goes, on a building. Dancing away, supported by what? Walls. Oh, it's an absolute embarrassment.
This is just common sense. The border wall would very quickly pay for itself.
Now this is the exciting announcement. This is the whole reason for the address.
Brilliant. Even better than having Mexico pay for the wall, the American government has applied strong-arm trade negotiation tactics to successfully pressure the wall to pay for itself.
He's the ultimate deal maker.
Oh, so good. Anyway, those were the main parts. So we'll end now with this supercut of the president sniffling triumphantly during the speech.
History. Beheading and last year, illegal immigration. So terrible. Pain in their eyes, their souls. Broken. Crisis. Our border, injustice, we serve. I would ask, imagine meeting, border, killings, border security, fentanyl.
Smells like freedom.
For more on the United States wall-related woes, I sat down with Trump administration representative Cynthia Johnson-Smith-Williams. That's enough sitting down. Let's do this interview. Thank you for joining me, Cynthia.
Thank you for having me.
In his first Oval Office address, President Trump said that the construction of his border wall was a choice between right and wrong, justice and injustice. And that's self-evident, but many have criticized what's become the longest government shutdown in US history. Why was this the best way to negotiate the funding?
Well, as you said, the moral stakes here can't be overstated. This is a face-off between good and evil, and the president recognizes that, and he won't back down. Whatever the collateral damage, however many people have to starve to death under the hot desert sun, it's necessary to stop the forces of darkness and evil from crossing our American border.
Yes. Well, certainly this is an emergency. And so, given the urgency of the border crisis, why do you think Democrats continue to block the budget?
The Democrats are retarded. Or they're working for the armies of evil themselves. In either case, the president will not back down on this witch hunt.
Sorry, I'm a little confused. The witch hunt being the president's metaphor about the Democrat conspiracy theories, the so-called Russian collusion, the alleged treason. Is the witch hunt thing related to the building of the wall?
Is it related? Lawrence, I'm going to make it simple for you.
It's Lance.
Don't interrupt me.
This president, this government has a singular focus on putting an end to the infiltration of our beautiful country by occultist immigrants. America has never tolerated witches, and we never will.
You're talking about literal witches, like supernatural witches.
Excuse me, is somebody else in charge here? I can't keep talking to this... Listen, for a journalist... You don't seem to know what the hell is going on. They're at the border, thousands of them, like rats, witches, everywhere, and they want to destroy America.
You're telling me that Mexicans are witches?
Yes, but only the ones with dark hair.
But don't most Mexicans
have... Shut up. Okay, I'm done.
With all due respect, I'm pretty sure the president has been talking about ordinary human Mexicans, which is scary enough. They're coming into America to commit crimes.
Well, with all due respect, you're fucking wrong. They're fucking witches, okay? Little boy, okay? Is that okay with you? Facts? Truth? They're witches.
I am not. The witch hunt term is a metaphor. It's about... Democrats and the mainstream media, they're trying to put the president in jail.
God forbid. No, the only ones going to jail here are the witches, the brides of Satan, and their spawn.
Those kids aren't there because they're witches.
You can't seriously think they're human beings. You don't think we'd put children in cages just because they're ordinary Mexicans, do you? They float.
Oh, look, the family separation policy has been controversial, that's for sure. But the US government can't allow, you know, anchor babies in their country.
What are you talking about? My God, you're a terrible person. America is a country of immigrants. We are all immigrants. Human immigrants. Except for the Jews.
Okay, if they're witches, why would they bring in drugs? What use does a witch have for heroin? Cocaine.
Who cares? And honestly, if cocaine were that big of a deal, the president would give it up.
President Trump does not do cocaine.
Of course he does. Who else would say, I have a very good brain? Come on, the sniffling? You think he's had a cold for the last 40 years?
He's an eccentric genius.
Sure. What we're worried about are the serious drugs. Eye of newt, wing of bat. I wouldn't want the president to get a hold of that.
All right, I think our time is almost up here. Just to clarify, you're saying Donald Trump wants to build a wall on the southern border to stop Mexicans, who are literal witches, from entering America. That's what you're saying.
Yes, correct. And sure, in the words of President Donald Trump, some Mexicans, I assume, are good people. But many of them we know are not of this mortal realm. And a big, beautiful wall is the only proven deterrent to these satanic sorceresses.
It's for keeping out Mexicans! Mexicans! It blocks them! They can't go through the wall!
Go through it? Mm-hmm. And what's stopping them flying in on an airplane and overstaying their visas?
Oh, all right then. Well, don't witches fly on broomsticks? Couldn't they just fly over the wall?
Shit. I have to go.
Hey everybody, it's the weekly hour. Listen to this podcast or I'll kill myself.
Leading Australia for nearly 3 years as Prime Minister was an enormous privilege, and I celebrate and am proud of the achievements I was able to make. You know, think of the big social reforms, legalising same-sex marriage. I mean, what a gigantic reform that was. I was able to do that. The Labor Party used to say, oh, Malcolm, you know, used to be in favour of marriage equality, he's no longer in favour of it. And then I legislated it, right? So I delivered it. Well, we did. It is a great Liberal achievement, and it was my government that delivered it.
Long-time listeners to The Weekly Hour, the podcast that this is, know that we are a bastion of Australian social progressivism, positive change, and making things more different than they are. That's why we're proud to celebrate, like a year and a bit since Australia took the momentous step towards a more just society in the recognition of homo marriage, commonly referred to as homerage.
Today, parliaments can simply vote on the policies they'd like to enact, but things weren't always so simple. No, back in those days, you couldn't just have a vote and expect legislation to sail through the parliament.
The fastest way, the way to guarantee that there is a vote in the parliament on gay marriage is to support the plebiscite. Personally, I have no doubt the plebiscite will be carried and the same-sex marriage legislation will then sail through the parliament.
Details of this period in our political history are scarce, and many of the records have been lost to the ravages of time. But as we know, the postal survey did go ahead and was eventually passed into law. And in the time since, it has seen thousands of loving couples brought together as a thousand blossoms bloom.
As far as I'm concerned. You know, but I ain't spending any time on it.
We have been able to piece together, however, the following audio.
Oh, yes. We had to go down to the letterbox. We did. On a Tuesday, we'd go. That was the day the postman had come. Oh, and it was always a postman, mind you, because postwomen hadn't been invented yet. On his horse and buggy, he'd come, and he'd deliver it to you, and there we'd be, all waiting for him, waving as he came by. Anyway, the letterbox. A mile down the road it was, and you'd opened up, and there it'd be. Both Houses of Parliament in there, passing legislation right in front of your eyes. Oh yes, we all had to do it. Unless you didn't want to, of course, then you didn't.
These days, we take homerage for granted. But it wasn't so long ago that there wasn't any. And the fight to have some was a fight that embroiled a nation.
It wasn't easy for Malcolm Turnbull, the socialist Prime Minister of the day, to enact this sweeping reform. Even though his beloved, the Liberal Party, have often been the strong, muscular arm bending the arc of the moral universe towards justice, in 2017 AD they were faced with an unprecedented opposition from the arch-conservative fundamentalists of the nefarious, the Liberal Party. So how did they do it? How did the Liberal Party overcome such opposition from the regressive, reactionary, the Liberal Party? How did they do it? To find out, I looked into how they did do it. I'm here at local homosexual establishment, the Builders Arms in downtown Fitzroy, Melbourne, to meet some of the punters and find out just how did they do it.
G'day, I'm Phil, I'm a bricklayer, just popped in for a couple of pints with me workmates.
Ooh, well, now, marriage equality, it's great for your people, isn't it?
Oh, look, you know, yeah, good for them, you know, it is the 2000s, you know, not for me, mate, but nothing against them or anything.
As a gay, you must be pretty grateful to the Liberal Party.
I'm not gay, mate.
But you're at the Builder's Arms. Surely you want to fall into the warm, masculine embrace of a Builder's Arms. I mean, not that women can't be builders. Of course they can, if they want to. It's the 2000s, you know. Not for me, but nothing against them or anything.
Me missus is a builder. She's a site manager, actually.
Sadly, even in 2018, Phil was clearly still in the closet. So I went to the campaign office of Love is Love Australia and spoke with Sarah Dubrovnik, who told me that she was a marriage equality activist.
I'm Sarah. I worked on the marriage equality campaign in Australia for over 10 years, and I'm just overjoyed that we finally got this through, despite the difficult process we had to go through in the end.
In introducing this momentous change, the Liberal Party government faced terrible opposition from the dastardly the Liberal Party government, but they were able to come through in the end. What part did you play in assisting the Liberal Party to finally get this done?
I think you may have misspoken slightly, but I see what you mean. The plebiscite process we were forced to go through gave a platform to hate and was incredibly damaging to the LGBT community. The Liberal Party had to be dragged kicking and screaming the whole way, but ultimately they couldn't stand in the way of justice.
They certainly did, and thank goodness the Liberal Party were able to overcome them.
I'm afraid I don't quite follow.
Have you ever thought about building as a career? I mean, it's not for me, but you know, nothing against them.
Are we still talking about...
It is the 2000s. Women can do anything these days. Sarah was clearly confused. It was time to stop piss-farting around and go straight to the horse's mouth, the great bucking stallion that is the Liberal Party headquarters on Lonsdale Street, Melbourne.
Excuse me, sir, do you know how to get to the Liberal Party headquarters?
Yes, it's right there.
The man was clearly confused, so I took a right, another right, right again and then right once more, where I found the same disoriented fellow, who by some mystery of fate had managed to stumble into the very same place I was going, the Liberal Party headquarters.
Oh, there you are again.
So this
is the Liberal Party headquarters then, is it?
That's right.
I went up to the door, which was emblazoned with the emblem of those champions of change, the Liberal Party. Those three blue oblique rectangles, one decorated with the Australian flag, arranged to form a mighty L. An L that almost seemed to be leaping off the plaque towards a fairer tomorrow. L for Liberal.
Hello, do you have an appointment today?
What the fuck is this?
Excuse me?
Are you fucking kidding me? You sick bastards! There on the desk was the branding of something quite different. The symbol that so many queer Australians had come to fear. Those three blue oblique rectangles, one decorated with the Australian flag, arranged in the imposing shape of an L. An L lurched menacingly towards the right and away from the rights of my fellow human being. This was some kind of twisted joke. And for a moment, I felt what it was like to face injustice. But I learned something along the way, because, in the end, the real winner wasn't the Liberal Party, and it certainly wasn't the Liberal Party. No, the winner was love. And nothing can take away from the fact that today, after fighting valiantly for so long, women can be builders.
Dear listener, since we last spoke, a lot has changed in this country of ours. More specifically, in another country, Israel.
Well, if we're assuming Israel is a country...
Hey, it's a light entertainment show, let's not get political.
Fair, fair. Anyway, placeholder Prime Minister, a man known as Scott Morrison, has officially recognised West Jerusalem as the capital of Israel.
Australia now recognises West Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. West Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. And we look forward to moving our embassy to West Jerusalem when practical.
However, the move has raised tensions with the Muslim community and close trading partners in Muslim-majority countries like Indonesia, who support Palestine.
Assuming Palestine is a country.
Oh, woo! Hey, let's keep it light. Let's bring it down a notch.
Sorry.
Anyway, some have questioned whether the announcement was really all that relevant to the average Aussie voter, who the government desperately need to get on side with an election looming.
Well, I actually have some insight into this, because I am an average Aussie voter myself.
Oh, are you?
And I can tell you right now, your everyday Australian would look at this whole business of where the capital is and where the embassy should be as being just so out of touch.
Yeah.
Such a fringe issue.
Absolutely right.
And most Aussies would say, you know... just nuke the place.
Yeah,
like, wipe Jerusalem off the face of the earth in a cleansing fire, then no one can have
hang on.
And we can finally be done with
Lindsay.
We can all just get on with our lives, sort of like a final, solution to the whole mess. Like a...
Lindsay!
Like a...
Shut up!
Holocaust 2. Oh, a caller!
Yeah, how's it going, mate? Terry from Tamworth here. Now, I reckon you're a little off base there with the capital, because I've got to say, me and the missus are about as true blue as they come, mate, and We are talking about this every night at the dinner table. We are chuffed at the announcement. We are just over the moon.
So this is an important issue to you then, is it?
Oh, the most. The most. Look, we don't want to know about bloody record low wage growth, housing, blah, blah, blah. We want to know where that embassy is.
Bit of an alternate take from Terry there. Well, thanks for calling in, Terry.
We're sick to death of hearing about the Eastern drought. What we need to be talking about is the far, far Eastern drought of respect for Israel.
Okay, so a bit of diversity in opinion there.
Oh, another caller on the line here. Sharon from Bayswater, what's on your mind?
Yes, just the minimum chips and a 2 litre Sprite, thank you.
I'm afraid you've got the wrong number there, Sharon.
Yes, I'll be over in about 10 minutes, so I'd thank you not to dilly-dally, if you don't mind, because I will be over there shortly and I am quite hungry.
No, sorry.
And
no,
you know,
this isn't
with my blood
shop.
Sugar what it is, I can't have any delays
no.
with the chippies, all right? They've got to be ready for me when I'm in there, more like 9 minutes now, so I hope
Sharon,
you've put
hey.
Them on already for your sake. I hope you've put them on because if
this
I
is
get
a
there
podcast.
And you have I'll be very upset.
We don't
this
have any chips.
Is a podcast, Sharon. A podcast. We don't have any chips.
Oh, that'd be right. That'd be right. No, of course you don't have any chips.
No,
no
we don't have any.
I specifically told you that I will be there.
Goodbye. No, we don't. No,
now.
We do not have
no.
any chips.
No. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
MeUndies. Are you looking for cheap undies with free shipping and a satisfaction guarantee? Well, I can't do the free shipping, and I'll tell you, I don't know what it is that satisfies you, if I'm honest. But I'll tell you what, if you need some undies, I can sell you me undies. I'll do it. That's all right. You come meet me down at the Caribbean Gardens and I'll sell them to you. Me undies.
Authorised by the Australian Government, Canberra.
And with that, we close the dusty, leather-bound tome that is another installment in the Chronicles of the Weekly Hour.
But not to worry. There'll be another Weekly Hour, in another week, in another hour yet to be determined.
But the journey doesn't end there, because now it's up to you to continue the story.
The story of you going to the store in Apple Podcasts and rating the Weekly Hour.
It's a grand adventure. The tale of one brave little podcast and its eternal struggle against the algorithms that recommend people podcasts.
Only you can continue.
Where are my chippies, you bloody mongrels?
No, we don't have any.
Them over.
Can't be in here.
I told you I'd be here to get my chippies.
Get out.
And I've come now and I'm very cross.
Oh, get out, Sharon.
Get out of it.
The Weekly Hour is produced in Melbourne, Australia. This episode was written by Lance Turnbull, Lindsay Moderam, and Eve Ellenbogen, and featured additional vocal talents by Shane Henry and Eve Ellenbogen. Check out Shane Henry's Melbourne International Comedy Festival show, Critique, a critical analysis of modern comedy and its subject, from March 26th to April 7th. And likewise for Eve Ellenbogen's show at the very same festival, Too Much, from March 26th to April 21st. The Weekly Hour logo by Lance Turnbull and Ella Jean. Editing by Lance Turnbull. Original music by Lindsay Moderam and Lance Turnbull. Most deserving of a big kiss is Lance Turnbull. Please give $100 to Lance Turnbull.
Microphone, 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 boys. Microphones are good for capturing noise.
Taste my ultimate fist!
Well, how do you say her name?
Ocasio-Cortez.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. That's too many syllables. Shouldn't be allowed so many.
Thank you for having me.
Right.
Is that too much?
No, not enough.
This is a microphone. When you get a microphone, you got a...
bone. All right.
Ah! No, wait, I gotta do the same thing now. There's no kind of button on that. There's no kind of end.
I think it's fine.
Yeah.
Who needs an end?
Yeah, true.